Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Sifu Lamar Davis as my special expert guest. Sifu Lamar M. Davis II is the head instructor at Hardcore Jeet Kune Do Academy in Oneonta, Alabama, where he teaches group classes, monthly seminars, and training camps. Lamar started training in martial arts at the age of 10. 50 years later, he is now recognized as the founder of Hardcore Jeet Kune Do, which is his total approach to teaching Bruce Lee's methods. In 1991, Lamar was inducted into the World Martial Arts Hall of Fame as the Jeet Kune Do Instructor of the Year. In 1989, he wrote his first article for a martial arts magazine, and in 2000, he published his first book called Jeet Kune Do Scientific Street Fighting. In 2004, Lamar was inducted into the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame with the Jeet Kune Do Sifu of the Year Award. Lamar has produced several training videos on Jeet Kune Do and publishes his own Jeet Kune Do magazine. He also has a custom line of training equipment called Dragon Blast. Today, Sifu Lamar Davis is the most highly ranked instructor of Bruce Lee's fighting methods in the entire world. He is a firm believer in proper nutrition and supplementation, and even developed his own nutrition program for students and practitioners called Become a Better You. Good morning, Lamar, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Thank you, Corey. I really appreciate you inviting me to be here. It's great to be in contact with you again.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking back, going maybe to around 2010, 2009, the RV tour and my friend Michael there getting us together and meeting in the RV, and you showed such enthusiasm. You were all over the nutrition chemistry. You had such an interest, and we had a great connection. So it's funny how these things start, but that was a good time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I remember it well. I remember some of our discussions on nutrition, and you turned me on to the fact that whey protein isolate was the best form of protein, and that's the only kind of protein I've used since then.
Right on. Well, that's great, because I'm still hitting it hard too, and training and that lifestyle has never changed, and I can see that that's true for you. You're just pressing it to all corners. This is a series focusing on the martial arts, a series of interviews with experts like yourself. And I want to focus in on different styles, because people that are not in martial arts are often confused about the different styles and techniques and strategies. And what I've found is that within the community of martial arts, there's a lot of prejudice. Like, the jiu-jitsu guys will say that your style of fighting is okay, but not as good as theirs, and vice versa. And it's kind of interesting from my point of view, because I sit back and listen to all this, and I like it all. I think it's fantastic. Let's start off with the essence of your strategy technique, the Jeet Kune Do. That's all about Bruce Lee. So what is it about Bruce Lee that intrigues you the most?
Well, I would have to say that it was his dedication, his sheer intensity, his phenomenal ability to physically express himself. He was a very driven individual with a serious set of goals and the mental and physical ability to accomplish them. In his short life of 32 years on this earth, he accomplished more than anyone I know that lived over twice as long. Now, his art of Jeet Kune Do was, in my opinion, the most effective self-defense method that there has ever been. And it's based on solid scientific principles, so it's considered a scientific self-defense method. And his formulation of his particular method of fighting was, in my opinion, absolutely brilliant. I've often been asked by people why I chose Jeet Kune Do as the martial art that I wish to pursue and teach, and was there anything else better out there? And I just let them know that, you know, I'm interested in martial arts for self-defense, not for sport. And that Jeet Kune Do was, when I saw it, I knew that I was looking at the most effective thing out there. And I chose that for that specific reason. And, you know, that's why I'm still doing it today. That's all I do.
Yeah, I think that's so remarkable. 50 years, man. I mean, that's just unbelievable. And you've attained such high accomplishments, and it's really good to see a man in our age group, right? You're born in 1957, same year as me?
Right. Yeah. I'm currently 60 years old.
Yeah, me too, man. So isn't that a great year to be born?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was indeed.
We got the best of music. We're born in the space age. All kinds of opportunity, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, just martial arts in general, let's be clear that you have a kind of a faith that's more than just hitting people. There's something that goes beyond what can be felt or seen. Isn't that true? Is there something inside of you that connects you with the martial arts as a philosophy?
When we talk about philosophy, that can go, I guess you could say, several different ways. Some martial arts tend to be more philosophical. Jeet Kune Do was considered more of a practical martial art, not so much adhering to or steeped in the Eastern religions. It looks at combat from a practical standpoint. So the philosophy that we apply is more practical, self-defense-based philosophy. You hear Bruce Lee, if you look at some of the clips that exist that were filmed of him discussing his martial art when he was still alive, he relates Jeet Kune Do in many ways to water. He talks about how water flows. Over a period of time, water can erode almost any substance, and yet it just keeps on flowing. And he said Jeet Kune Do should be the same way. It's like it flows, the techniques flow. It's like water will find the smallest crack and get through and find its way through. Jeet Kune Do is like that. In essence, in a fight situation, openings that your opponent gives you are like the cracks that the water can flow through. And you simply flow through, fill that void, and that's where our self-defense philosophy comes from.
Right, so this type of or style of martial art is very practical, but it's only defensive. Is that true?
Well, it's what we refer to as, in some ways, self-defense, but we also sometimes use the term self-offense because everything that we do is looked at as real-world self-defense. In other words, practical self-defense for what's going on in the streets today. I mean, all you have to do is look at the newspapers, watch the news on TV. And I don't know how bad it is currently up in Canada, but here in the U.S., I mean, it's constantly talking about this person was attacked, that person was attacked, this woman was raped, this person was killed. And, you know, it's getting so violent, it seems like, these days. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be getting much better. It seems to be actually getting worse. And Jeet Kune Do is all about preparing to defend yourself against these type of violent situations. So we look at it like, if there is no other way out, in other words, if you see that this conflict is escalating to a point where there is going to be a fight, in other words, you know that there's about to be a conflict, the idea is don't wait. Go ahead and take this attacker out and get out of there. We have a saying, it's better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6, if you know what I mean. So it's like we look at everything from a practical standpoint. And yes, it is a thing where you only use it if you have to, and we don't go looking for fights. That's not the idea. The idea is to avoid it if at all possible, but also to be ready for it if it's unavoidable.
Right, like that scene in where he goes to that island and fights. Enter the Dragon, right. I love that. And he's on that boat with that sort of idiot that challenges him to a fight on the boat, and then he...
Yeah, you Peter know, Archer.
That's right.
He's
yeah, you know every scene, I'm sure. Yeah. And he fools the guy into going into the rowboat and then ties him out with the line. And so it's the art of fighting without fighting. And I always was attracted to that because this is a form of intelligence, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Most definitely.
Now, you've prefaced Jeet Kune Do with hardcore. So is hardcore Jeet Kune Do, that's your baby, that's what you created, and is that exactly the same as what Bruce Lee taught originally?
Well, the way I look at it, hardcore Jeet Kune Do is the full realization of what Bruce Lee was working for. It's an aggressive form of real-world self-defense, as I've already stated, of course. There is no sport or competition aspect to it whatsoever. Everything that we do is geared toward self-defense. I have a saying, split, deflect, and destroy. Why go around what you can go through? So this is kind of like my combat philosophy. In a street fight situation, you want to devastate this opponent as fast as possible and then get out of there. Now, if there's a way to talk your way out of it and go home without hurting anybody, that's the preferred method. But nowadays, that's not always possible. I spent many years working in the bodyguard and private security industry. That was sort of a sideline job for me, along with my, you know, martial arts instruction. In fact, I think I was still head of security for a nightclub back when you were in Aniana. Actually, got in several situations working that kind of work where I was able to test Jeet Kune Do under certain circumstances, and I'm happy to say that it never let me down in a real fight situation, so it's definitely a very effective method of self-defense.
Yeah, I remember that as well, and I think I asked you which club you were working at, and you invited me to come along, and I did, and I think it's who you know that counts, so you got me through the lineup right. And had a really good night that night. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it was good. Okay, now let's talk about the training itself, the practicing, because all athletic activity involves practice and training for the sport or for the martial arts. Right. So let's talk about how you practice and what goes on. Let's say I come to your place of activity and I'm going to do a workout. What's a typical workout like?
We always start out with working on our footwork because footwork is important. Bruce Lee once said, if you can't move, you can't fight. So it's all about being able to move, being where you need to be when you need to be there, yet not being there when you don't need to be there. And that's what footwork is going to do for you. So we always start off working on footwork. Then we go into working on the basic punching and kicking structure. Then we may go into some different area of training. Like Jeet Kune Do has several different areas of training that we can go into, what we call energy and sensitivity training. We could work on Bruce Lee's five ways of attack. We could work on the area of training that we call trapping hands. We have what we call stop kicking, which is using a kick to stop a kick from an opponent or to stop this person from advancing towards you. And then we could also do, say, focus glove or focus mitt drills, which you see boxers and MMA guys doing this kind of stuff all the time, where the person holding the glove, the trainer's holding the gloves for them, and they're punching the gloves. We could go into some of that, in other words, what we call impact training. Or we could actually go into the full-on sparring. We wear headgear, gloves, we wear shin guards. Any other protective gear is optional. But everything is geared toward practicality, and it's based on simplicity and directness. So it's very simple, very direct, very effective. We do operate as a private club, so not just anyone can walk in. My wife, I don't know if you remembered this from before, but my wife is a yoga instructor. What we have done, since you were actually in Aniana, I actually have purchased the building where my school was there in Aniana. I actually own the building now. It's called Mind and Body Fitness. My wife teaches yoga out of the front, so hers is the storefront, and the school is in the back. So, you know, the school is more hidden and kind of out of the way, and unless somebody's told it's there, they really don't even know that it's there. And so we maintain that private club atmosphere. That way I can somewhat control who gets into the classes. I don't want to teach this art to someone who might possibly abuse it or misuse it in any way. I want to be sure that anyone who trains with me is of high moral standards and they want to learn self-defense purely for self-defense, not just so they can go out and beat somebody up. Not everyone can get in. I would like to say that Jeet Kune Do is for everyone. But in this case, it's not necessarily for everyone because I have some people, I've actually had some people that basically have come to me and pretty much asked me to teach them how to beat somebody up. Of course, not using those terms, using more crude terms. But that's just a total turnoff to me. I'm like, okay, you need to find somebody that is only interested in making money and doesn't care about the student, if you know what I mean. It's a good process for anyone that gets in. I don't allow the classes to get overcrowded. We keep things kind of small, and I have a waiting list for people that want to get in the class, and if somebody drops out, then somebody else comes in. That's basically how it works.
Well, I really respect your commitment to such high moral standards. And that is rare today because, especially in America, America is known as a place where money comes first and it's all about profit instead of health.
Right.
So it's nice to know that there are people out there that don't necessarily buy into that. Of course, generating revenue is part of what allows us to have a club and offer the service, you know, because we all need to pay the bills. But you do it with a very high degree of a class, and that's why you're so successful.
Well, you know, then too, I have, as you stated earlier in the introduction, I have my own line of training equipment that I designed, that I build, and, you know, that sells pretty good. I have a website for the equipment sales, and then I also have a major martial arts supply company here in the U.S. that also sells my equipment. So, you know, that is a good supplement to my income. I also do a lot of writing. I have books. I have 54 instructional DVDs on the market worldwide, and I do quite a bit of traveling, teaching seminars. Like this year, I will go to Canada. Unfortunately, I'm on the other side of Canada from you in Hamilton, Ontario. I'll also go to the Czech Republic, to Prague, to teach over there. I'll go to England this year and a few other foreign countries. But, you know, that's the biggest part of my income. So I really don't have to depend on my classes for my major income. So that makes it even easier to control the attendance of the class and to keep the standards high.
Yeah, that's an excellent business model, and I'm hoping that people are picking that up, our students right now, because a lot of them are moving into new businesses, their personal trainers, health food stores. They're looking at maybe opening up a gym, and everyone's got these expectations of what it's going to be like, but then the real world sets in, and you've got to be a good accountant, you've got to be a good manager. Of course, you've got to have the skill and something of value to teach or provide. So it's right. More than just that, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, this is excellent. Just absolutely wonderful. Now, what are some of the mental benefits? Okay, so I join your club, and I'm training, and I'm getting in good shape. I'm getting a good physical workout. I'm learning technique and strategy. How is that going to change or transform me, say, mentally or emotionally, when I walk out the door back to real life?
Well, I look at, when we talk about the actual training of the student, I look at everything. I encourage a total approach to training. So if a student follows my advice, there are tremendous physical, mental, as well as psychological benefits. When I say total approach, this includes physical exercise. I advise them to use free weights, machines, body weight exercises. I encourage them to have proper nutritional habits and to take supplements. I also emphasize the importance of not abusing the body, which means no alcohol, no smoking, no drugs. In other words, a totally clean lifestyle. The development of physical attributes is also very important, and by that I mean flexibility, dexterity, strength, speed, economy of motion, balance, eye-hand coordination, touch sensitivity, contact reflex, timing, range awareness, visual focus, you know, those kind of things. Bruce Lee was big on promoting what he referred to as body feel, which is the development of the ability for the body to feel everything, so that you immediately detect the right way to do something, as well as detect when something is wrong with what you're doing. So once you've developed this body feel, it becomes your guide from that point on as to whether you're doing something correctly or not. The mental and psychological aspects also come into play here as well, because mentally, you have to have the mental strength to face any encounter that you may run into. And we put a lot of time, we have a lot of drills to help the students develop that mental strength that they need in a street situation so that they don't just come apart in that situation. A lot of people have actually been trained in martial arts, but when they face a live situation for the first time, they just kind of freeze up. They just kind of come apart, and they end up getting hurt, sometimes even seriously, because they weren't actually mentally prepared. They were physically prepared, but they weren't mentally prepared to apply their chosen martial art. And so this can lead to your downfall if you're not psychologically and mentally prepared for this. Psychological aspects are very important. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, we have drills at the school that we go through where the students are trained to respond to various situations, and also I encourage a heightened awareness in my students so that they're never caught off guard. In other words, you're always aware of who's around you, what's going on around you. And every time I go somewhere, and people notice this, my wife has particularly said something to me about this on several occasions, but I'm always looking around. I'm always watching people. I'm always alert to everything that's going on. I'm looking for people who could be potential threats, people who look like they would be troublemakers. And that's something that being in the bodyguard and private security industry for many years like I was, that was something that kind of prepared me even better for that, because you have to, especially in a club like the club where I was working back when you were in Alabama, you have to be very alert and very aware of everything that's going on around, or first thing you know, somebody's clocked you in the head with a beer bottle or something like that. So we do have all of these drills that prepare you both mentally and psychologically for various aspects of combat, so that in a situation when you're threatened, you can keep a level head, you can stay calm, and you can apply what you know and go home alive.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. That was his theme, right? It was all about keeping a level head, not losing
right.
your cool. I've heard that from other people like yourself and bouncers and security. You've got to keep your wits about you. And in many cases, if you do, there's no need for violence. There's a way around
yeah.
that. But what you're saying is, okay, if the violence is going to happen, I'm prepared for it, I'm trained for it, and I'm not going to back down. I know exactly what to do, and I'm confident.
Right. As you quoted, you were talking about Patrick Swayze. To quote what he actually said in the movie, he said, "Be nice until it's time to not be nice, and then you take out the trash." And that's exactly how it is, you know?
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. That's exactly true. Wow, that's super. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
I could much identify with a lot of things in that movie. In fact, it's every time I'm watching TV late at night or something, flipping channels and it's on, I'll always stop on it and watch it. Even though I have it on Blu-ray, on DVD, I can watch it anytime I want to. I always end up stopping on it and watching it. They must have done a lot of research for the movie, because a lot of what was going on was exactly how it is in real life.
What about Billy Jack? Did you like that film?
Yes. In fact, I was a teenager, as you were, when it first came out, and I was actually kind of concerned about the R-rated status, because technically I wasn't old enough to go to an R-rated movie, but they, you know, they just let you right in. So anyway, I remember going to see it, and I remember thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, this guy, he's got some good moves. But, you know, the whole thing about taking your shoes off before you fight, you're not going to hardly have time to do that in a real fight situation.
Right.
That's why yeah. in Jeet Kune Do, we do train with shoes on. You know, everything is looked at as from a practical standpoint. Training with shoes on is really the only practical way to go, because in the street or in most situations when you're going to get in a fight, unless you happen to be on the beach or something like that, you're going to have shoes on. And, you know, training barefooted can develop a false sense of speed, because even the weight of a shoe can throw your kicks off, just that added weight.
That's so true. I went into one club and I made the mistake of walking onto the mat without taking my shoe off, and they just freaked out like I'd committed some form of sacrilege.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like a major etiquette violation in some of these schools. I went up to Canada to teach a seminar. And the instructor there, it was a Japanese-style martial arts school where we were going to have the seminar. And the instructor there just rented out the school to the person who was sponsoring the seminar. So we got there, and he looks at me, and he says, "Well, just take your shoes off and pick a place on the shelf over there to put your shoes. We can't have shoes on the training floor." And I immediately turned and looked at the guy that was sponsoring my event, and I said, "Well, unless you can come up with somewhere else right now to have this event, we're going to have to cancel it because we don't train barefooted." And the owner of the school, he kind of panicked. He was like, "Well, wait, can't you just take your shoes off for this?" I said, "No, everything we do is looked at from a practical standpoint." I said, "We train with shoes on." I said, I do not take my shoes off for anyone. And I said, so unless you're willing to let us train on the floor with shoes, we're going to have to find somewhere else to do this, or the event is going to have to be canceled. And, you know, apparently he had been paid a fairly decent amount for us to use the school and didn't want to lose that money, because all at once he said, okay, just this one time I'll let you guys wear shoes on the floor. So, and then I was in England one time, and I was teaching a seminar in Nottingham, England. And there's a school there that is on the fourth floor of a building, so you have to walk up four flights of steps to get to this school. And the guy that was sponsoring the seminar was just going to take me by there and introduce me to the owner of the school. And so we walk up the four flights of steps. He knocks on the door. The owner comes to the door. He says, take your shoes off and come on in. Well, of course, I immediately said, no, I'm not taking my shoes off. And he said, oh, come on, man. And I said, no, you come on. I said, you know, I'm your guest here from America. I said, I've just walked up four flights of steps to just meet you and talk to you, which is really of no benefit to me. I said, you know, I'm just doing it to be nice. And I said, you tell me to take my shoes off. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't take my shoes off for anyone. So anyway, we ended up just turning and walking right back down the four flights of steps and going on about our business, because I'm just not taking my shoes off. I don't do that.
Right. Well, again, that's why you're the man you are, and that's why you're successful. And people don't like it, then they can find something else, I guess, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Good for you. I love it. I'm that way with life in general when it comes to nutrition and training and exercise and movement and just living the good life, living like a Spartan. You know, I don't care what people do, but just don't bug me when I'm doing it. And let's find a way to get along. I just love this. This is, I think of all of the martial arts, this is the one I'm attracted to the most. There's right. something inside of me that gets really inspired when I watch Bruce Lee and these different people that imitate the great masters in these movies, etc., to watch you on the video, etc. We're running out of time. I can't believe how much more we could talk about. We'll definitely do another follow-up on this, okay?
Yeah, let's do it. Anytime. Yeah. Always ready to help you any way I can.
Oh, that's wonderful. Before we go, let's get into your website. What is your website address, Lamar?
Okay, it is www.hjkdcgfa.com. Now, HJKDCGFA stands for Hardcore Jeet Kune Do Chinese Kung Fu Association. That is my organization. Now, the website, it's a little bit dated right now. We're about to do some major changes to it. We're going to update some things. I'm also going to have a website for my magazine, which is called Original Jeet Kune Do Quarterly. It's a four times a year publication. It's the highest quality magazine that you'll ever find on the martial arts. And it's the only magazine in the world devoted entirely to Jeet Kune Do. We'll have a website for the magazine. And we're also building a brand new website for my Dragon Blast training equipment line. There's a huge volume of information there. There are categories and subcategories. If someone got into everything on the site and started reading the articles and things like that, they could literally be on the site almost half a day. It's still, to me, everything is still a work in progress, because I'm always looking for ways to improve and ways to make things better. And that's been the big thing lately with me, is a lot of work going into improving and just making everything better and making it so that it's more accessible to everyone and educating everyone as to the actual fighting art of Bruce Lee, and not what people think it is, but what I want people to know that it is.
Right. Excellent. And I will mention, too, that you are listed as one of our education providers, a partner on our website, and I'm very proud to have you there. You're the only martial artist, and I think that I was so impressed with your morality, your position, your philosophy, your character and conduct are just outstanding. So it's really good to see you still pounding out the pavement there, Lamar, in Alabama, and it's great to have you as a friend.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Corey. Thank you so much for having me. It was great chatting with you again, and I hope we can do this again sometime. I'm always open to it. if I can ever help you with anything, regardless of what it is, please feel free to let me know. I hope to see you sometime in the future. That would be great. It's been way too long, and I would love to hopefully get with you sometime, hang out, and talk the talk and walk the walk, you know. I would like to say something to all of your listeners. Never give up on your dreams. With dedication and consistent effort, you can and will get where you want to be. Never give up on your dreams. I'm a firm believer in that.
Sifu Lamar M. Davis II is the head instructor at Hardcore Jeet Kune Do Academy in Oneonta, Alabama, where he teaches and leads and educates and provides just a fantastic, excellent standard of martial art. Lamar, thanks so much for being my special guest. Really enjoyed it, and we'll have you back on.
Thank you, Corey. I'll look forward to next time. Take care and God bless.
You too.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.